following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
A man had a dog and he was bragging about this dog. He said, "You know, my dog is so smart and he's so obedient. I tell him what to do and he either does it or he doesn't." I had a video here I was going to show you about what's called the most obedient dog in the world. It just didn't quite work. And it was just amazing to watch how this dog would do exactly as was told. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the subject of obedience. And I was thinking that obedience is not the easiest thing to deal with in our lifetime. We don't like to obey very often because we don't want to give in to a higher authority than ourselves. And so obedience can become a problem. We're going to go to the next slide, see if I can get this one. Yeah, it's hard to believe because it's hard for us to obey. And for many of us, obedience and obeying is a hard word. I'm showing you this because my wife has a tendency sometimes to let me know that, especially when I'm behind the wheel, that I sometimes think the rules are made for everybody else but for me. And so that's where I struggle with obedience very often. And this job that I have now as a courier for a lab, I'll tell you, it tests my patience and it tests my obedience. And I think there's a reason why I was able to do that for a little bit, because it really stretches me. Even I sometimes find it hard to obey. For instance, if I can't find a parking spot, I make one for myself. But obedience is not easy because, like I said, it means that there's a higher authority than ourselves, and we don't often want to give in to that higher authority. So I want to take a look at obedience today, and I want to take a look at Scripture, show you a few verses that talk about obedience. "Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Anybody know who says that? Said that? Jesus, right. He said that in Luke 11:28. Here's another one. "You are my friends if you do what I command." Who said that? Jesus. And that's in John 15:14. What about this one? "If you love me, keep my commands." Who again said that? Jesus. Remember a little boy one time, he was in Sunday school, and his teacher was asking questions, and she'd just get started with a question, "Who was it that said such and so?" And he'd shout out, "Jesus." And she'd say, "Where was it that this happened?" And he'd shout out, "Jesus." And for every question, he'd shout out, "Jesus," before she had a chance to finish. And she asked him why he was doing that. He said, "Well, I've learned in Sunday school that the only right answer is Jesus." And that's really true, right? Jesus is everything. But how about this one? "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it," obedience, "they will be blessed in what they do." Who said that? Does anybody know? Good answer, but wrong. That was a trick question. That actually was James said that in his very first chapter. But James was a very influential guy in his time period. I would say Paul, Peter, and James were the three most influential people in the early church. And very often, if people had something to discuss and they wanted to get an answer that they trusted, they would go to James. Because you know, James was Jesus' little brother. You knew that, right? And James, at the beginning of Scripture, it talks as though all of Jesus' family kind of turned against him. But then later, his brother, James, became a believer and a follower and wrote wonderful, wonderful scriptures, and ones that remind us of things that other scriptures don't often seem to zero in on. And James gives us this. He says that we don't only hear it, but we ought to do it. And doing, of course, means obedience, obeying. And if you feel like there's something in your life that's just not quite right, if you feel like it's just as if there's something that's missing, or in your faith, for instance, you feel that for some reason you're sort of spinning your wheels and you're not really making any progress in terms of growing in your faith, you feel like you're kind of stuck, maybe incomplete, unfulfilled, well, then this is what we need to remember. God blesses obedience. God blesses obedience. Say that with me. God blesses obedience.
And if you want to find a path to fulfillment and to joy and to peace in your life, it's obeying God where you'll find that peace and that path. You have to discern His will first. And after you discern His will, then become obedient to it, because God blesses obedience.
Take a look at Mary, for instance. She was a young girl. Scholars think maybe 16 or 17 years old. She was a teenager. And I think back to when I was a teenager, some 10 years ago or so, 15. You remember what it was like when you were a teenager? It was kind of a rebellious time in some ways, right? You're trying to exert your own autonomy, wanting to do your own thing. You want to make your own way. You want to make your own decisions. It's kind of a time where you don't go along, but rather you push back. And here we have Mary, in her teen years, receiving this unbelievable message from an angel that she was to bear the Son of God. And instead of what we often get from teenagers, you know, when they get a message or we try to tell them something or teach them something, and they say, oh yeah, sure, why not, yeah, right, you know, they push back, might say, well, I'll think about it, get back to me in a week or two. Mary didn't do that. Mary took what Jesus, or what the angel had said, and Mary said this instead. She said, let it be done to me according to your word. Mary didn't do the common teenage kind of thing. She immediately embraced the will of God. She became obedient to the will of God. And God blessed that obedience. And it's important to recognize that there was nothing special about Mary that she had done up to that point that she deserved this honor. But what she did is she did everything she could to receive that honor through her obedience. She obeyed. And then, of course, there was Joseph, right? And poor Joseph, you know, he was engaged. This was his fiancée, finds out that she was pregnant. Imagine what he must have thought. He was thinking at first of divorcing her, putting her aside. He was going to do it quietly because he was an honorable person. But Joseph, instead, chose to be obedient. And out of those two humble acts of obedience, the Christ child was born. And the world was saved. Just two acts of obedience. Hearing the word of God, following the word of God. The Christ child was born, and the world was saved. And I think sometimes we resist being obedient, because we do like to pretend that we're in charge of our life, and that everything that we do and so on has to be finally ours and ours only, our decision. We don't consult with anyone else. And yet God says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. God blesses obedience. And obedience is not a hard thing when you realize that real obedience doesn't just come from following a set of rules. It's born out of love. And I want to say that I'm faithful to my wife, Liz. And I'm faithful to her not because it's the moral right thing to do, but I'm faithful to her because of that deep abiding love that I have for her. And you know what? It's easy to be faithful when you have that love that draws you. It's easy to obey the Lord when you have that love for Him. That's where obedience is grounded. It's grounded in love, not in rules. It's grounded in love. The more I know my Lord, the more I love Him. And the more obedience becomes natural. It becomes less of a struggle and much more of a privilege. Discerning the will of God and obeying the will of God. In the summer of 2004, my wife and I made a very hard decision in many ways, hard in many ways, but in other ways it became a very peaceful and right decision for us. We chose to leave the church that we were part of at that time, because of issues of scriptural authority and so on. And we left believing that God was calling us away. But we had not yet a vision for what He was calling us to. But we felt that He was calling us away. So we chose to be obedient and to resign my position at that time.
We had no job to go to, no career to waiting for us, no salary. We had no idea how we were going to pay the bills, what we were going to do. But we had a peace in our spirit that this was the right thing to do, because this is what God was calling us to do, and we were choosing to be obedient to it. And I don't know if I told you the whole story, what happened through there, so pardon me if I have, but I'd just like to share with you a few tidbits of some of the ways in which God blessed that act of obedience. And I don't hold this up as an example that you all ought to follow or think of me as anything special, just like we don't think of Mary and Joseph as special, except that they chose to obey. And by God's grace, we did the same, and we were blessed because of it. We resigned from the church that we were at that time, and like I said, I had no plans, no idea where we were going to go, what we were going to do. We had a mortgage, huge mortgage, and we had still family living at home, but God seemed to be calling us away, and so we chose to be obedient to it. But let me tell you what he did. Within 3 days of resigning, I happened to be meeting with a young woman who was a counselor at our church who also taught at a Christian school. And she knew that I was a teacher before I went into ministry, and she said, have you thought about giving a resume to the school that I'm at? And you know, I had sent out resumes to every place I could think of. I had just posted them, but I didn't send one there. And I said, yeah, no, I didn't. She said, well, look, give me a resume, I'll take it in. I got a phone call from the principal. He said, I'd like to see you. I would like to interview you. That was the second day after we had made our decision and had resigned. And so I said, okay, I'll come in and see you. I went in that afternoon. And he told me that he had a position for me there. He said, I'll let you teach science and math, which I had done at grade 10 high school level. And I said, yeah, I can do that. And then I found out that he was going to be letting a teacher go so that I could come in and take her position. And I said, thank you very much, but I don't want to do that. I don't want any part of that. I don't want someone else to lose a job just for me. And he looked up at me and he said, how would you like my job? I said, what? He said, how would you like my job? I said, don't you want your job? He said, you know, I feel called to offer you my job. He was the headmaster of Christ Lutheran School at that time. And I said, no, no, I can't do that. I can't let you not have a job and me have a job. No, forget it. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And I left. That evening, he called me on the phone. He said, I feel compelled to offer you my job. He said, I'm going to go to the board. Well, this was very strange. I said, well, okay, sure, go. I figured nothing would happen. He did. He went. Next day, he called me in the morning. He said, well, I'm sorry. He said, I mentioned it to the board, but they said, no, they want me to stay. I've only been here a year or so. They figure I should stay longer. I said, of course. I said, if I was on the board, that's what I would say. Very good. Thanks for thinking about me. Goodbye. An hour later, he calls again. He says, I'm going back to the board. I said, what? He said, I'm going back to the board. I feel compelled to do this. So a few hours later, I get a call from the board, the school board. They say, we want to see you. I said, you're kidding. They said, we want you to come in for an interview. That afternoon, 3 days after I resigned, I went in and I met with the board. And they offered me the position of headmaster of Christ Lutheran School. So I thought, what's going to happen to this other fellow? His name was Don. What's going to happen to Don and his job? And I said, before I can really say yes, I need to find out what's going to happen with him. So I called him. He said, you know what? This was towards the end of the year. This was right in June. You know, school year was kind of closing up. He said, I called the Christian school in Toronto that I used to teach at. And the lady who looks after that in HR, she was just reaching for the phone, she said, to offer the last position they had to someone else when it rang, and it was Don calling, the former headmaster. And she said, because it's you, I'm going to offer you the job. And so within 3 days, the headmaster of Christ Lutheran School, he had a job back in the school he was at before. And by God's grace, I was now headmaster of Christ Lutheran School. And so from that act of obedience, God took over and took control. And by God's grace, we had that position. I didn't know what I was going to do as a headmaster. Never been a headmaster or a principal before. I didn't know anything about it. So I started boning up really quickly in the summertime. I remember the first day I came back, he said, look, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get a staff meeting together and I'll introduce you. Sometime in August. I told him I wouldn't start until the middle of August, and that gave him time to finish up and me to kind of think about this. So I went in for that very first meeting, and there sitting around the tables were all of the staff, and I came in. I didn't know any one of them except the one girl lady that had told me to bring in the resume. Her name was Victoria. The rest I had never met before. Sat down with the principal. And he just says to them, okay, just want to let you know that I've resigned my position here. Everybody went, he hadn't told them anything all summer. And he said, this is Doug Krantz, he'll be your new headmaster. I'll allow him to sit with you now and I'm going to go and do other things. And he left. That's how I was introduced to the staff. It was a scary time, but I'll tell you, it was a blessed time. And the way God blessed us through that, by God's grace, he grew that school. When I came on board, we had about 55 students. Within 2 years, we were up to 100 students by God's grace alone. But sadly, that school too, they chose to do some things that I just didn't feel comfortable with. I didn't think that I could honor those things in terms of the way they wanted to hire staff, and they wanted to have only a certain kind of staff and certain kind of students, and I didn't want to be that discriminating, so I said, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I'm going to have to leave. So I handed in my resignation again. Within two years, I resigned from another position. That very week, a member of the staff and a member of the parents came to talk to me and said, how about we start a new school? I said, wow, how are we going to do that? They said, well, let's get together and see if anyone's interested. Within 1 week, they put together a board. Within 1 month, we had a school building, we had a place, we had our charitable status. That normally takes 6 to 8 months to get, at least. We had it within 3 weeks, and people were able to contribute to the school. And by God's grace, all this was happening in June and July. By September, we were up and running with a new school. We started with about 35 to 40 new students. Three-quarters of the staff from the other school came with us. Half of the students came with us. We weren't meaning to take them, but they chose to come. We weren't going to say no, but we weren't going to encourage that either. But they came. And a new school was born, and that was Foundation Christian School. By God's grace, by an act of obedience, a new school was birthed. And that school now has around 100 students. It's in its 14th year. And over those 14 years, that school has touched the lives of some 1,000 students. Students coming and going and staying. All because of an act of obedience, for which Liz and I take no credit. But by God's grace, he gave us the spirit to hear the discerning call and to act upon it. And a new school was born. And I bet you there's stories that you have to tell too, where you did the obedient thing, where you obeyed the call of God, and by God's grace, there was a blessing because of it. Because God blesses obedience, just the way he did with Mary and Joseph. Two humble acts of obedience, and a whole world was saved as a result. I'm going to ask, Nelson and Arlene is there, Priya and Preethi, could you go to Liz for a minute? I want you to hand something out for me, would you? As quickly as you can. Give everyone one of those. And then I'll tell you what it's all about. To love God is to obey God, amen? That's in Jeremiah. That's a picture of Liz and I when we were at my son's wedding. And it was a real blessing to be part of that. I'm not sure why I threw that in there, maybe just to brag a little bit. Obedience is living as Christ would have us live, doing as Christ would have us do, and going where Christ would have us go. That's obedience. And sometimes that call to obedience is hard. Sometimes it takes a lot of faith and a lot of gumption.
But when you step out in obedience, God blesses obedience. Oh, you're not looking hard enough, Jack. You know why I gave that to you? There was a new believer once who came to a pastor and said to him, she said, I want to know what obedience means to you. And you know what he told her? He took a blank sheet of paper and he says, this is what obedience is. He said, it's like signing your name to the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and letting God fill in all the rest. And so I'm going to suggest to you that if you want, take this home with you, sign your name to it, stick it up in your fridge, put it on your dresser, put it somewhere you can see it, as a reminder that God blesses obedience. And when you're obedient to God, you may have no idea where He's going to take you. It might be entirely different from what you ever imagined for your life. But God does bless obedience. He truly does. Let's say that together. God blesses obedience. I want to say a prayer now, and I want, if you feel comfortable, repeat after me, if you would. Okay? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you call me to be obedient, just as Mary and Joseph were obedient. Forgive my sin. Forgive my pride. Help me to surrender my will completely to you. I am now yours, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.